heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Lopez, now Middleton. Middleton puts up the finger roll counter with a foul. Chris Middleton has tied his season high with 31 points on that shot. He'll have a chance to exceed that number with a free throw on the way.
He would exceed that number as Middleton finished this game with 35 points, new season high, and a big game from Javon Carter as well. Javon, it's been a staple for this Bucks team. Whenever you don't have Giannis and or Drew, when all the high-volume scores are out, that's when you turn to Javon Carter, and that's when he has really shined so far this season. But look, take nothing away from the Detroit Pistons. They're not a very good team. And this was a team that, frankly, had very little incentive to win tonight. They own the worst record in the NBA. They are a team that would love to have a 7'5" Frenchman on their team next year and Victor Wembanyama. This was a game you absolutely had to win. Even if Chris Middleton wasn't playing tonight, you got to win this game. And it got a little close for comfort at times, but the Bucks ultimately won this game. That's the most important part of tonight, is what the final result was, because you're still two games in front of the Boston Celtics, and depending the results from Denver tonight, the Bucks could be basically pouring dirt on the 76ers' chances of moving into those top two spots. Well, not necessarily the Bucks, but the Sixers overall. That's something to monitor. Philadelphia, that game, especially on April 2nd, could be a game that the Sixers have a lot of pride interest in, but that could be about it. Things have started to change here, where this was a three-team race for the last week or so, and now it's becoming increasingly clear this is going to be down to the Bucks and the Celtics for that number one seed. It's all going to come down to Thursday night in Milwaukee. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. Old National Bank, get old. That's the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We will get the updated numbers here in terms of the Bucks' chances to hammer down that one seed. But it's as simple as this, Tommy. We said it with Dave just after the game ended. If you win these next two games, if you win in Indianapolis on Wednesday and you win Thursday against the Celtics, you will be the one seed.
Yeah.
Dynamite drop-in.
Sorry.
I'll give you
100%. It's 100% on the Tommy rankings.
Okay.
100%, well, I mean, they will be the one seed. I don't care what the 538 or whatever it else is. It's in my mind, they're already the one seed.
Already the one
100% seed. On my projections. My
Even
math.
If they lose on Thursday.
100%.
Okay, but you understand, if they lose on Thursday.
Yep.
The Celtics will have the head-to-head tiebreaker.
We'll also be and a they game would, up, assuming we win.
Well, assuming
game,
you win.
The game tomorrow, or Wednesday.
You can't make assumptions, though. But okay, I'll grant you that. There'll be a game up. The Celtics have the tiebreaker, though, so you're essentially tied.
Yep.
You would have to outplay Boston the rest of the way.
They will.
Okay.
100% on the Tommy rankings, by the way, if anyone's interested in the math on that.
855-616-1620, the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight. I will go 100% if they win both the games. Then it's 100%. I think mathematically the chances would probably be like mid-90s, if that's the case, 95, somewhere around there. But I'm willing to push it to 100% if the Bucks win Wednesday and then beat the Celtics on Thursday night. I don't know if I can go as far as you did, though, with 100% if they split these games. And if that loss is, because look, even if they split them, but the win is the Celtics, I'm 90%.
I'm 100 today.
It's quite a stance. Quite a stance. A lot of time to hear from you on tonight's show. Also, look, we don't want to get into the muck, if you will. We've laid out our case for the MVP. And by the way, Me saying I think Joel Embiid is going to win the MVP several times, people take that as, well, you're an Embiid guy. You think he's better than Young? Like, I'm merely saying, look, this is how the MVP works. This is what voters look for. It is a narrative story. I may have been wrong. I know I don't say that a lot because I'm not usually wrong, Tommy, but I may have been wrong because of what's happening tonight. I do want to mention something because it's kind of the, if you live in a glass house, maybe avoid throwing stones. Or as our guy, the hot rod, Roddy Piper once said, don't throw rocks at a man that has a machine gun. And that's what we may have seen from Joel Embiid earlier today. I'll explain what I mean and hear from you after this on Bucks Talk.
Carter, and Carter drills another three. Something about this Detroit Pistons team brings out the best in the Bulldog. A 14-2 run, and Javon Carter has hit 3 of 3 from distance here in the fourth.
Javon Carter, one of 4 Bucks players to score 20 or more in this game. I want to say they did that recently as well, but I didn't have the time to dig through everything vis-a-vis Stathead or reaching out to Elias and seeing if they would return one of my calls. But I want to say the Bucks did this somewhat recently to have 4 players score 20 or more. But nonetheless, this has kind of been the staple of when Giannis is out, when Drew is out, when you have big offensive pieces missing, Javon Carter is the guy that steps up and has a big offensive game. 22 points, but 6 of 7 on his threes. And, of course, a season-high 34 from Chris Middleton as the Bucks win. It might not have been pretty, but it's a win. And you're 2 games in front of the Celtics, gearing up for that big showdown on Thursday. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Let's go out to the phone lines and talk with our old friend Dick in Port Washington. I would assume you're calling in to talk about Jordan Warra's 25-point quarter over the weekend, Dick?
No, I'm not. What I want to talk about, though, is I don't know what your producer, what kind of brownies he's eating in there, but 100%, no way in heck. I mean, look at the schedule. Indiana, they shellacked us the last time at home. That's going to be a tough game. You don't have to say anything about Boston and Philly. I don't know if Washington still has a chance, but play them next Tuesday.
I think.
Okay, so then they're out. So that might be a win.
Yeah, I think
Chicago
by the time.
Is certainly going to be playing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, by the time we play the Wizards, I think the Wizards are going to be out of it. Tyrese Halliburton did not play tonight. He did recently return, but the Pacers are essentially eliminated, too. I'm going to be very curious to see what group of guys you see on Wednesday.
Yeah. If Halliburton plays, though, his dad's going to be there. It's going to be a very tough game. Hey, Washington's an easy game. Chicago still could have implications of
big
getting
time
to the playoffs. We might face them. We might face them in the first round. Memphis, Jazz, they're going to try to get him back into the rotation. He's going to be playing that game. And Toronto still might have a chance to move up and down in that last game. I'm not 100% sure of that. None of these games are easy. I look at the Celtics. You know, they play the Wizards. They play the Jazz, 76ers there, Raptors 2 in a row, and then the Hawks. This is not a slam dunk. I hope that the coaching staff doesn't overthink Wednesday's game and you play that to win. No one should sit that game. This happened to us last year. You go at it. So be it. You know, maybe if you drop 3 in a row, then you can maybe think about, okay, Sixers aren't going to catch us. But until that happens, you have to win every game. We were fortunate tonight sitting our 2 stars and still won the game. It was a horribly tenseful game for me watching it because all I was thinking of is some of these other games where all of a sudden these teams that don't have a chance start hitting threes and they think they can win. But, I mean, Detroit is a pathetic team, and that's why we won tonight.
I agree with almost everything you said. Let's just take a look at the side-by-side here. The points that you raised about this schedule are very accurate. If you win these next 2 games, you're going to be the one seed because you'll be at least three up with the tiebreaker, so essentially four with, what, five games left on the season. So you would have to totally collapse for the Celtics to catch you. But you got to get those two wins first and foremost. So you have, after that, the Sixers. Philly at this point is almost locked into three, especially if they lose tonight. I know the Cavs could technically catch them. It's not very likely. No. So they're probably going to be three. The Cavs are probably going to be four. You got the Wizards, who, again, are likely to be in operation shutdown. But as you pointed to, the last three games, the Bulls are about to be locked into the play-in tournament, but they got to play for seeding, and they can get out of the 9-10 spots, which is very important. Toronto is going to be in the same boat, potentially, for the last game of the season. The Wizards is interesting because that's their penultimate game of the season, or excuse me, the Grizzlies. By that point, they are probably going to have the two spot locked up, but it's still, you raise the point of John Morant. We've seen him playing a little more. What they elect to do there for the Celtics, it's kind of similar. You know, Wizards is who they have tomorrow. That should be a win. They're going to catch the Jazz on Friday after the Bucks game, so it's a back to back. But Utah, it seems like, has slid out of that flirtation with the play-in, and they're starting to shut it down as well. I don't know what Philadelphia team they're going to catch the following week, and then they got three teams that are probably playing for seeding at that point in the Raptors, or two teams in three games, Raptors and the Hawks, but they should win those games as well. So the schedule's fairly even for these two teams.
Yeah, but I'm just concerned. One or two missteps. I just think you need to, at this stage of the game, because after the game on the 9th, okay, we're going to have a week off, right? Because they play the play-in tournament and all that stuff, right? We'll have a full week off. I think you go into every game until you have this thing locked down.
Yeah.
None of this program waiting and let's see if we can steal one, which I think is what happened tonight. Maybe not with Drew, but with Giannis.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my concern, but hopefully – I mean, I'm usually Mr. Negative, but I mean, this year I haven't had the angst that I've had in other years, but I still see a lot of stones we can trip over here.
Well, and look, you have to win. I agree. I don't know. I'm curious to see the work on some of Tommy's math that he did here with 100%, even if they lose to the Celtics.
It might even be 110% after this call.
You got to win that game.
Okay.
You got to win that game. If you win three of the next four, but one of them is Boston, you're going to be the one seed.
Yeah. Hopefully. you still could lose three in a row.
I would be very surprised, but yes, you could lose three in a row.
I would, too. But if you I'm afraid, I just hope Bud doesn't overthink this. Play to win.
And look, I don't think that's what we're going to see, because they may not come out and say, look, we played it wrong last year, but that's the vibe that you get, and that's what it seems like. Is we've heard more and more from individuals coming out and saying we are focused on the one seed. So I do think that is one of their goals, stay healthy, but get that one seed, because in the case of the Celtics, I mean, with that injury, you probably weren't beating Boston regardless if it was at home in Game 7. But still, I think what we've seen is the Bucks saying, you know what, we should have played that final weekend a little differently and gotten the two seed.
Yep. And don't forget that in the seventh game, Boston couldn't miss from the outside. The crowd was into it. I'm not so sure that would have happened if it had been reversed in Milwaukee, you know. Maybe someone else could have stepped up for us, and we had the other thing. You know, what's his name? The guy that doesn't look like he should be a basketball player, but is really a good one. Williams, what's his name?
Grant Williams.
The forwards. No, is it Williams? No.
Yeah, Grant Williams.
Anyways, the guy that hit, and he had so many threes that day, he just bunked us. That's not going to happen in Milwaukee. That's why I think it's so important to get this. And you don't have to play Philly.
Yeah, well, we think. Thanks for the call, Dick. We will we'll check in with you after we see round two of the revenge game from Jordan Wara. We think you're not going to get Philly. I mean, we can't rule out, depending on what happens tonight, Philadelphia could technically finish fourth. So We'll keep an eye on that. And also, look, the last thing I'll say about the home court, I don't think you're going to see the Bucks playing around, for lack of a better phrase here. I mean, I talked about this a week ago when the vibes were just so different. 2 years ago when the Bucks won the title, they went into the playoffs playing to win, and they took the team vote of where you want to finish, and this means we would get the Heat if we win. We don't care. We want to win, and we know it means this is what we're going to get with the Nets. We're playing to win. The basketball gods didn't frown upon them. Maybe they did last year. The home court advantage thing, I don't get as hung up on it last year. It was just more of, it felt like you limped into the playoffs. The biggest thing is the sliding doors theory. If you get the 2 seed, you're not playing the Bulls in the first round. So maybe then Chris Middleton doesn't get injured. But we can't look at it and say, well, if they had home court, they would have beat the Celtics. Because you didn't have Chris Middleton. And you won on the road in game one. So it wasn't just the home court that was the issue a year ago. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line. Old National Bank, get old. A couple of calls to get to and your nightly update on what the numbers say after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
Duren couldn't get it. Picked up by Ingles. He's going the other way for the Bucks. Feeds the cutting. Lopez, who glides in for the two-hand jam on the alley-oop.
Brooke Lopez, one of those four Bucks players to score 20 or more points tonight as they beat the Pistons. 126-117 wasn't pretty, but it still counts as a W in that the column foremost on the left, which is the most important part of tonight's results. Head back to the phone lines and talk with Ricky in Honey Creek. What's going on, Ricky?
Hey, I'm glad here. Another win for the Bucks. This is definitely a game that the Bucks had to win. Only a game and a half above the Boston Celtics. I mean, it's the Pistons. They're not the greatest team in the world. In fact, they're the worst. But you can't, no Giannis tonight. No Giannis or Holiday. So it puts the pressure on Middleton to step up his game. And, man, he really did. I mean, 35 points. And then getting help from Lopez and Portis. And I think there in the first half, you can call Portis Butterfingers, trying to grab his ninth rebound 2 times, and he missed it and went out of bounds. So it gave the Pistons 2 opportunities to score, and they never did. So good thing there for Portis and the Bucks there. Now, as you stated earlier, there were times when this game wasn't pretty. This game wasn't pretty, but a Bucks win is a Bucks win, and they needed that to increase the lead over Boston now up to 2 games. And with just a few games remaining here, there's one game in particular that's going to be really interesting to watch. Bucks versus Celtics, because this is going to be the game where determines by the good determining here of who's going to get that number one seed. And hopefully the Bucks come on top. Now I got 2 more things to say here. The Bucks shooting just 31% from threes tonight. They need to up their game more on threes there. And also, only 8 turnovers tonight. Still like to see less, but it's definitely an improvement from last game. Let's go, Bucks!
All right, Ricky. Thanks for the call. A lot to unpack from that one, as always. Turnovers were a little bit problematic. All those problem areas, the Bucks seem to do a better job in the second half. The biggest or largest there was the offensive rebounding. Much better job on the offensive glass for the Bucks, and defensive glass for that matter. Rebounding as a whole was much better in the second half. But that 2 areas we've pointed out a couple of times these last few weeks is rebounding. Bucks have been one of the best teams in the league, not just this season, the last 5 years under Bud. And the last couple of weeks, we've seen it pop up more and more where your defensive rebounding has lapsed a little bit, and you're seeing these teams put up some big performances on the offensive glass. 14 tonight for the Pistons. We've seen a number in the 20s a couple of times recently, but 14, they turned into 20 second chance points. Turnovers, I think, have stabilized for the most part for this team really since December. Defending the three is the other thing to really keep an eye on with this team. It was so great early in the season. We've seen it regress a little bit lately. Now, tonight isn't a great barometer. This isn't a very good Pistons team. They're not a good shooting team either. So you can look at the numbers and say, well, they only made 7. 7 of 24. The Bucks did a good job. I'm curious to see that number against the Pacers. With or without Tyrese Halliburton on Wednesday, you know they're going to take a lot of threes. And especially Wednesday against the Celtics. But those struggles defending the three or declines a little bit. It's coincided with the absence of Jay Crowder, who you welcome back tonight. And by the way, 12 minutes for Crowder, just 2 points, but 3 rebounds and assist, did the dirty work once again. And you're going to start to see those minutes ramp up for him. Same with Goran Dragic, his Bucks debut. 1,000th game in his career, by the way. 9 minutes tonight. Just good to see Goran Dragic out there on the floor. 3 assists. The first one was, we talked about Joe Ingles bringing this exact thing, what this team has missed in the half court, those connective passes, finding Wesley Matthews under the basket for that easy look. So it's good to introduce that additional piece into Goran Dragic as well. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. Got to get caught up on a break here. When we come back, we'll hear from Bob in Fond du Lac. And I do have to get to, I mentioned it earlier in the show, what's going on in Denver and the bad look that we saw overall off the floor earlier today. We'll talk about it after this on Bucks Talk.
And Ingles hits his first three of the night from the deep corner right. Joe Ingles on his fourth try of the night finds the bottom of the net, and Milwaukee with a Michelob Ultra three and a timely one to put them back ahead by 4.
Those are the only 3 points of the night for Joe Ingles. 3 of the 18 bench points for the Bucks, but it was 34 from Chris Middleton. Your starters scored 108 points, and the four-man attack of Middleton, Portis, Lopez, and Javon Carter with 101 of those 108 points. The Bucks win it in Detroit tonight, 126-117, so 2 games in front of the Celtics with that big showdown inside of Fiserv Forum on the horizon. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk with Bob in Fond du Lac. You're up next.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm not really worried about the Bucks in the one seed. I think Coach Bud's been preparing ever since Boston had that little swoon for that one seed, and I'm not worried at all that they're going to achieve that. I had a question, rather insignificant now, but I'm wondering, A.J. Green used to be in all these type of games when the Bucks were resting players, and he's always sitting behind the bench, not suited up, not injured. I'm just wondering what happened to A.J.
Well, thanks for the call, Bob. I guess a couple things. Lindell Wigginton played tonight, but first and foremost, you got to monitor the games played by your two-way guys, because A.J. is pretty close to the cutoff of max games he can appear in while being on a two-way deal. And, you know, also, it's just a deep team where Goran Dragic was available tonight. You got to get him on the floor and work some minutes out with Goran Dragic and his new team. Same with guys like Wesley Matthews, who really haven't played much lately. And, of course, the return as well of Jay Crowder. So even though you had two pretty big names out in Giannis and Drew Holiday, you got other pieces you're trying to reintroduce or introduce into the mix, and you got to win this game first and foremost. So I think that's why you saw a lot more of the trusted guys getting the minutes tonight. That and the combination of that and the contract that A.J. Green is on is the explanation there. But look, we talked about him earlier in the year. A.J. Green has been impressive for what you've asked. Whenever he gets out there, he is not afraid to shoot, and he's connecting at a high volume. So it does seem as though there's something you can develop there for A.J. Green or with A.J. Green. But in the case of he and another guy, we have not really uttered this name. We were all salivating over him early in the season. I did try to say, let's take it easy. He's young. It's going to take some time. He's still relatively raw. Marjon Beauchamp. And that's exactly what we've seen. Still a lot to like with Marjon, but he's raw. You got veterans and a lot of depth in front of him at the position that he plays. 855-616-1620, the Old National Bank. Talk and text line, Old National Bank, get old. some funny signs in the crowd in Denver in this matchup between the Sixers and the Nuggets. I'll finally close that point on throwing stones when you live in a glass house. And we have seen a change in the projections. We'll tell you what we mean after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big. Bigger than you ever done it. You be up on everything.
Bucks win it in Detroit, beating the Pistons 126-117. Not impressive in the final score, but they did this without Giannis and Drew Holiday. So, this, basically 7-day stretch? 10, somewhere around there, 9 to 10 day stretch was potentially huge across the NBA when you looked at some of these individual matchups. So you had Giannis against Nikola Jokic on Saturday, 7 to 8 days, basically. So Giannis and Jokic on Saturday. We knew we were going to have Giannis versus the Celtics on Thursday. Giannis versus the Sixers, the following Giannis versus Embiid and the Sixers, the following Sunday, April 2nd. You had Embiid versus the Celtics, I think April 4th. And tonight, the guys who are in all likelihood going to finish, I know we're Giannis fans, I know we all agree he's the best player in the world, but these two guys are probably going to finish 1-2 in MVP. Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. Big week, right, for all these head-to-head showdowns, and this is how you decide who's the MVP, by these regular season team performances. And then we see, well, Joel Embiid, not so fast, not going to play today. He has been on the injury report quite a bit recently, and he talked about this at the All-Star break as well, that he's not 100%. And I look, if you watched the Sixers games, these last handful of games, he's clearly... I'm not going to say hampered, but you can tell. All right, Joel's not totally 100%. Some of it is fatigue from carrying this team, too. But you can notice, all right, he's dealing with something. Everybody is at this point. But Joel Embiid not playing today. Understandable when you've been on the injury report quite a bit. And with that loss in Phoenix over the weekend, It basically, Saturday night, it comes pretty close to sealing off 1-2. Bucks and the Celtics, the order TBD, but those are going to be your top two teams because of those losses. So it's easy to understand why the Sixers would say, all right, let's make sure Joel is healthy for the playoffs. He's not playing in this Embiid versus Jokic matchup tonight. Now, the unfortunate part, and look, I don't know how much say Joel Embiid could have in this. Certainly, he carries a lot of weight that he could have pushed back. Hey, you know what? I'm not going to play. Maybe hold off on releasing this article for a day or two. But the irony that Joel Embiid does a Q&A with Sham Sharania of The Athletic and basically says, I'm the MVP. I'm better than this guy. In not so many words. And this guy being Nikola Jokic. Talking about the last 2 years, I could have won an MVP. I wasn't playing for MVP. This year, I'm not either. And that was my advice to Jason Tatum earlier in the season when Jason Tatum was in the mix. Don't try to get the MVP. Just do all these things that make your team good and whatever can make your team better. The criteria does change. If we want to talk about the last 3 years since I've been in the running for it, the MVP, the first year, it was that I didn't play enough games. Last year, I came back. I played enough games. I led the league in scoring, and obviously Nikola deserved it, and he won it. But then again, he won as a sixth seed in the West. And then this year, I'm leading the league in scoring. I'm doing all of these things defensively. I should be making an all-defensive team, too. I don't care. But every year it's something. And when you add analytics into it, which don't make sense, you can't talk about analytics all you want. You can talk about analytics all you want. When you got some guys in the league, the eye test tells you that they're not good defensively, but analytics tell you they're the best defenders. That's when analytics don't make sense at all. I don't make the rules. I don't choose whatever criteria it is that they use. So it's really about whatever people's preferences are. There is a decent amount of validity to what he said there. But again, and look, I'm not saying Nikola Jokic doesn't care about the MVP. I'm not saying Giannis doesn't care about the MVP. We hear that they don't. And I think a lot of that is we've taken that as, well, it seems like Joel Embiid really cares, so let's assume these other two guys don't care, and he does, which isn't totally fair to Embiid. But you can't say, I don't really care, but here's two paragraphs. Here's 2 minutes of me talking to Shams about why I actually secretly do care, but I don't really care. And the timing, again, this isn't necessarily Joel's fault, but the timing for this to come out, where you take these coded shots at Nikola Jokic, who do you think he's talking about when he says, I should be a first-team all-defensive player? You got some guys who analytics say are good defensively, but the eyeball test tells you they're not. Just come out and say his name. You are talking about Nikola Jokic because he's the king of the on-off numbers, and we've talked about this before as well. But that, like, it's those little things with Joel Embiid that I think do turn off some voters, just how outspoken he is. He went by Troel Embiid on Twitter for the longest time. He may still have that. It's those things that I think are off-putting at times, and a lot of it isn't necessarily fair to him. But again, the fact that this article and this interview, the story comes out today when you're not playing in a game against the guy that you just took some veiled shots at is another head-scratcher here for Embiid and the Sixers. And I mentioned there's a lot of fun being had in Denver. So it's a close game right now, by the way. We should point that out. Second half just started. It's a four-point game. Embiid isn't playing. James Harden isn't playing for the fourth straight game. Maybe time to be a little concerned there. But in Denver, obviously this did not sit well with Nuggets fans. They're holding up missing persons signs in the arena. Have you seen these, Tommy?
I have not.
A handful of Nuggets fans holding homemade signs, missing person, a picture of Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid, a.k.a. The Process. Descriptions. No MVPs. No first-team All-Stars. Tall. Last seen in Denver, 2019.
What does this update your MVP rankings, MVP probabilities?
I still think it's Embiid is going to win it.
But, I mean, based on because he's been
because
the best
scorer.
He's
leading
all
the
year?
League in scoring, and this is how it works. He hasn't won yet. I'm not saying it's the right way to do it. I'm not saying he's my MVP. It's not just working for the team. I would vote for Giannis. I think he is the best two-way player in the league. I think he's the best player in the league. But Joel Embiid has not won one yet. Nikola Jokic won the last two. Giannis won the two prior to that. There becomes this fatigue and there becomes this, hey, we should really reward this guy too.
This game hurts him, though? This game doesn't hurt Embiid not playing against them?
If Joel Embiid comes out and scores 45 against the Bucks on Sunday and has a big game against the Celtics, like we still have so many games left. I mean, I know it's
true.
In the grand scheme of 82, it's not a lot, but he's got a handful of big games left. Giannis does as well. He could swing that. But I still think it's those two guys are the front runners.
Everything on paper, other than the scoring, is all in favor of Jokic. On top of that, he takes half the free throws a game
as
Embiid.
Well, that's not necessarily true. Joel Embiid has really narrowed the gap on a lot of these, even the advanced numbers.
Okay, but do you think these writers look at the advanced numbers or they're looking at the ones on paper? I don't know. Well, if you look at it, they have comparable defensive numbers to the main stuff right there. They have, and Embiid is getting out-rebounded, out-assisted, and the only reason he's scoring more is because he's getting to the line more, which he shoots a little bit better from the line.
Look,
he doesn't shoot better from two.
Right or wrong, it's a regular season award, and it should be, but the last few years are taken into account. And look, Joel Embiid hasn't had the greatest postseason either, but there's more excuses that are acceptable for Joel Embiid. I mean, look at last year. Look at the year prior, the bubble year, where he's never been able to be fully healthy going into the playoffs. He's talked about that quite a bit. The bubble playoffs where there was nobody around Joel Embiid. The year that they lost when the Bucks won the title, where, again, you can't blame Joel Embiid necessarily for the way that they played down the stretch or in that series against the Hawks. We keep going back to what happened with Ben Simmons. Now, sooner or later, you got to win. Like Giannis, we saw the same issues with him where wasn't terrible in the postseason, wasn't great. It wasn't the guy that we saw during the regular season, and certainly wasn't the guy we saw in the last two playoffs. So sooner or later, you just got to win. But part of it is, can we, and I'm going to be very curious to see this too. Tim Bontemps, who does the straw poll of voters that have a vote for the MVP, he sends a poll to all of them. Who would you vote for? The first one of the year, Jason Tatum was number one. The most recent one is where it really started to shift. Nikola Jokic was far and away the leader there. He just sent it out to MVP voters today, I believe. So we're going to see either the end of the week or next week who is the leader in the final straw poll. I'm curious to see the results there. I think it's going to be Joel Embiid is the leader. And it's going to ultimately come down to this, too. If Joel Embiid keeps posting the numbers that he has, I think, look, Giannis can insert himself if he has a big showing against the Celtics, if he has a big showing against the Sixers on Sunday night, and they close out that one seed and go into the playoffs on a high note, Giannis is very much in the conversation. Even more so, I should say. He's in the conversation. But it's going to come down to this. There are going to be a number of voters, and this isn't taking shots at ageism here. There are going to be a number of voters, especially those that are older, that are going to look at this and say, is Nikola Jokic one of the all-time greats? Is he on that level as Larry Bird and some of these other names? Because if we give him an MVP three straight years, he's in that conversation. And anytime anybody 20 years from now goes and looks at, hey, here's the players that won three straight MVPs. Are we putting that guy in that class when he hasn't really done much in the postseason? That, to me, is the biggest reason why I think Joel Embiid is going to win. We'll get you set for the game against the Indiana Pacers on Wednesday and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. Taking care of the Pistons without Giannis, without Drew Holiday, they get set for not a must-win, but close to that against the Pacers Wednesday night, one day before the big showdown against the Celtics. As we mentioned, I mentioned, you win those two games. You win in Indy on Wednesday and at home against the Celtics on Thursday. You will be the one seed. But you still got to win those two games. In Denver, it's now a 10-point lead, but the Sixers still hanging tough. No Embiid, no Harden. It's 71-61 midway through the third quarter. I mentioned some of the things that have changed. The Bucks still 87% chance to get the one seed if they win on Wednesday. 82% right now. But the 538 now has the Celtics number one in the East, a 31% chance of making the finals, a 20% chance of winning the finals, one percentage point in front of the Bucks in both of those. Wednesday night, Bucks in Indy to take on the Pacers. We will have more Bucks talk immediately afterwards. My thanks to Tommy Wirtz and Chris Larson for producing the show. Talk to you Wednesday.